Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. The quartet, Darling Side, named for the creative advice attributed to William Faulkner that in writing you must kill your darlings, is playing at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs tomorrow night and at the Hangar Theater in Ithaca, New York on Friday. The shows at Cafe Lena are sold out.
It's over now. The flag is sunk. The world has flattened out. Under the underground, I've always found a level further down. As I begin to lose hold of the fiery flower beds above, mushroom clouds reset.
Don Mitchell, Oyon Mukherjee, Harris Passeltiner, and David Senft have been making music together since they were students at Williams College. Their most recent release is a 6-song EP entitled Look Up and Fly Away. Here's some of the title track.
Catch some light.
One of my favorite Darling Side songs is from their 2015 album, Birds Say. It's called Harrison Ford, for reasons made evident by the lyrics.
Dreaming shoots a lot, I sleep through two alarms, and when I stumble through the doorway with my hands through the arms of the sweater that the dry cleaner gave me back to size down. Make it to the bus, not a second to spare, but there's freeze frame traffic till the intersection where I'm scheduled for a meeting with a man who looks like Harrison Ford.
Harris Passeltiner plays cello and guitar in Darling Side, and he joins us now. Harris, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is absolutely my pleasure. I am very excited to learn more about Darling Side. I guess we'll start with origin story. Pretty good place to start. You all met at Williams College, which is also in the WAMC listening area. Tell me how the band got together.
Oh, yeah. We met at school. I was the youngest. Well, still am the youngest, but I entered as a freshman, and Don was a senior at the time, and Dave and Oyon were juniors, and the three of them were in an a cappella group, and I got to school, and I had not really spent any time singing. growing up, I played classical cello and arrived at school and met these guys on campus and decided that I'd give singing a shot. And they took me into the group, and that's where we first became friends, and then took some songwriting courses at school where we started to explore, writing songs from scratch and writing lyrics and things like that, and started playing on each other's songs. And then when we got out of school, once I had graduated, we moved into a house together in Western Massachusetts in Hadley, right by Northampton on the Connecticut River, and spent 2 years living in that house and trying to sort of bang our heads against the wall and figure out what we were doing musically, because we did not start off with a set plan of what type of sound we wanted to have. We just knew, here are four guys who like to write and sing, and let's try to see what happens when we combine those voices together.
You perform, all four of you, standing very close around one vocal microphone, playing different instruments and switching them out between songs sometimes. How did you work on the coordination of that? Every time I see you guys live, I think, no one's ever gotten hit in the face with someone else's guitar neck while I've been watching. And I hope it never happens, but how did you guys, coordinate and I guess sort of choreograph that method of playing your music?
Well, we started out playing as a rock band with drums and everybody standing, pretty far from each other across stage. And presenting that way when we were playing live was really, we felt was really different from the way that we were writing the songs and coming up with the singing parts and the harmonies and practicing them when we were back at home working on things. So when we were at home, we would just be sitting, on a couch or in the kitchen or something with a few instruments and singing into the open air and combining our voices in just a much more natural way, sort of closer to what it was like to sing in the a cappella group or what it felt like to play in a chamber music trio when I was a kid. And we decided, why don't we remove all the separate, stations that we were standing in and just clump really close to one another and be able to deliver sort of that for the live show, the experience that we have writing and creating the songs at home. As far as the mechanics of it and making sure that we don't hit each other, it's sort of trial and error. Like each song, when we debut it live for the first time, since we're standing so close to one another and singing, into the same microphone, we have to go through, I would say, at least 20 performances of a song to find out where should I actually stand and move my guitar so that I don't hit Oyan in the face or something like that. and it's we'll talk about it, at sound check the next day and say, hey, for this part, I need to get my face a little bit closer. Would you mind turning 30 degrees to the left and moving the headstock of your guitar down? And I can, I can pop my face in for just this part, and then I'll shoot back out and you can turn in. So, yeah, it is a slow dance, I would say.
I know it's not very easy to answer exactly how four people write music together, but if you could try to explain it to me, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah. It's a very slow democratic process. And when we first started as a band back in Western Mass, when we were living in the house together, at least the first songs we wrote, one person would bring in sort of a fully finished set of lyrics and a melody and a guitar part and say, hey, can we add instruments to this? And we would edit it together. But essentially, each song was somebody's baby, and we have over time morphed to a much more convoluted sort of game of telephone as far as how we write songs, where more often than not everybody has a pretty strong print on each tune as far as saying, four people wrote these lyrics together and this guy wrote the chorus and a different guy wrote the verse and the other two people wrote the arrangement of the string parts, or it's very much a democratic process. And we oftentimes try to design it as such. We encourage people to bring in ideas when they're nascent so that they haven't fully formed into songs yet. So somebody just says, hey, I've got this little you know, riff on the guitar, or I've got this little bit of a melody, what do you think? And start to immediately move it into other people's realms so that they can play around with those ideas and continue to allow them to grow. What we feel is that if all four of us are involved on a song, then we'll all care about it, so that when we go out and play the songs each night on a tour, all of us feel connected to what we're saying and doing.
Connection, I think, is a great word to use to describe how I feel sitting in the audience when I see you guys live. I just feel like really connected to the songs and sort of like filled up by your voices and your instruments. It's absolutely beautiful. It's one of my favorite groups. That is not a question. That is just something I'm telling you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Sure. Tell me about your cello, please.
Oh, sure. Yeah, just about the physical instrument itself.
Yes, indeed.
I play on a cello it's called a Lewis and Clark cello, and it's made out of carbon fiber. So it is actually made by the former principal cellist of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, Louis Leguia. He started making these cellos. I guess he enjoys sailing and realized that as the waves were crashing against the side of a hyperlight sailboat that he was on against the carbon fiber, that it actually was creating a pleasant acoustic sound. And so then designed a cello that's made out of that material that is super resilient. It really approximates the sound of a wooden cello quite accurately. And it means that I can leave it in a car when it's below freezing. I can play shows outside when it's raining. It's a great touring instrument because it sounds crystal clear and really accurate to a wooden instrument. And at the same time, if somebody kicks it over, I don't have to worry.
You don't have to just immediately burst into tears.
Exactly.
How long have you had it?
I've had that cello now for, I think, 6 years.
It's really a great-looking instrument. It's black and shiny, and I love it.
Yeah, some people ask me when they see if I put some sort of special tape over a wooden cello and covered it up, and then I let them know that the entire instrument is made out of carbon fiber, that I'm not kind of putting wallpaper on my cello.
You guys also have during performance a kind of, I mean, I don't know how easy it is for you, but it feels really nice and personal patter in between songs. You'll talk about something you ate that day or something about your trip to the town that you're in. Did that come naturally, or did you discuss how your in-between song patter would work as you started touring?
I think it gradually grew over time where when we first started out, I at least can speak for myself on this front, I didn't know what to say on stage. And so oftentimes there were blank silences between songs and we would just move to the next one. And then we would finish the show and get in the van and drive to the next spot and we would be conversing the whole time about, you know, here's what I'm reading right now about nutritional science, and then, you know, arguing about that, and then, you know, making a joke and saying, you know, talking about minutia the way that, you know, four friends who travel together will do, you know, where we'll talk about, hey, you used this word incorrectly 2 days ago, and I just wanted to call you out on it, and then we'll argue about it. And we just, I think, started to realize that if we wanted to share who we were openly on stage and really be ourselves, then we should bring that aspect of who we are day in, day out to the live performance. Because otherwise it sort of feels like we're turning off a big part of who we are as people, and that the songs are one aspect of what we're sharing, but we're also trying to just be with people when we're at shows. So over time we've, I think, grown more comfortable. I know I have with just talking about whatever's happening on any given day. And that can be, depending on what day of the week it is and what's happening in our lives, that can either be comedic and fun, or it can be serious and, you know, dealing with what's going on with us. So it's been, in a sense, freeing to feel comfortable sharing with audiences.
Another part of the live show is Oyen does band intros with a different hook for every concert. He comes up with sort of a theme and introduces each of you based on that. And me and my husband and my friends who are fans are always like so excited when it starts. Like, well, what's the gimmick going to be this time? How did that come about?
So that also started sort of, he would introduce us just saying who we were each evening, but there were a few shows where I think he just happened into it, where whatever sort of banter theme we were riffing on for a while, you know, if we were, you know, talking about what would it be like if the band were all raising a child together, how disastrous would that be? And then, we talk about that between five songs or something, and then it came time to introduce people, and Lam would say, you know, here's Dave, he would be the kid's father because of this. Here's Don, he would be, you know, the kid's tutor, SAT tutor because of this. And he kind of just naturally happened into it. And I don't think we ever really had a discussion about it. But then he just started researching things and doing it every single night. to this day, he comes up with a new set of introductions for us each evening, some of them extremely obscure.
He does it in, you guys did a Tiny Desk concert, so if anybody at home wants to understand what we're talking about, he does do it in the Tiny Desk concert, which is, of course, online at npr.org. Darling Side will play at Cafe Lena, two shows. They are sold out in Saratoga Springs, and they'll be at the Hangar Theater in Ithaca. That's on April 12th. Harris Passeltiner, thank you very, very much for your time, and I can't wait to see you again.
Well, thanks so much.
When the world speaks, it rattles to me like an antique, or maybe it rings like an old bell, wishing us some kind of farewell. A wave in the window, a beacon, the batten down end of the season. Lullaby blue, it is two doves, shot in the heat of the summer, and truer than we're a long way from the best of the best of times.
Harris Passeltiner plays cello and guitar in Darling Side and sings and co-writes the songs with his bandmates. To learn more about the band, visit darlingside.com. Their albums and EPs are available on More Doug Records. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.